You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Well, here we are for the second hour. Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry Connors, who is on administrative leave. We sent him off to, just relax a little bit, get some of the cobwebs out of his brain. And so what did we do? We sent him to a poker table where he's got a shot at winning $120,000, and I hope he's not nervous. I hope he uses all of his cagey expressions, his fun little mannerisms, and all that sort of a thing to throw off the entire table so that he comes back with some big ones, because I want some of that, and Clinton wants some of that, because here we are working away feverishly while he plays. Anyway, hey, Quentin, you heard it here first. We heard it here just at the end of the last hour. The 2022 election, there are going to be 10 more conservatives in the House. And the Republicans will take the House. And there will be two more conservative seats, gained in the Senate. Now, we didn't dig in and figure out or ask Dr. Lamero who he was thinking of, but he does spend a heck of a lot of time at it, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm going to remember those two numbers, 10 and 2, and let's just see what happens. If that's true, then I would guess that, I would guess that the Democrat Party would really ramp up. If they're not certain about 2022, they have got to get as much stuff passed as they possibly can. And I don't know if that means they're going to really somehow figure out how to get rid of the filibuster so that they can do that. That would not be a good thing. And I know there's plenty of Democrats that don't think it would be either, because what's that old saying? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And sometimes the roles will be flipped. And what a mess that would be. I think that the founders really thought things through. Think about it. Back in those days, you didn't have cell phones. You didn't have gaming. You didn't have Snapchat. You didn't have all that stuff that, kept you from communicating with others. You had your mind. You had your brain. You had a nose and a mouth and two eyes, and you communicated with others, and they communicated back. And somehow, go back to Plato, go back to Aristotle, all those folks, Nostradamus, we brought him up last hour. Seems to me that, are we dumber? We're supposed to be smarter, right? We're supposed to be going toward enlightenment, utopia, said Dr. Lamero, that a good socialist who is intellectually honest about their beliefs and does believe what they are trying to do. They see the world as, I am trying to help human beings get into a much better place. They cannot do it by themselves because there's too many variances, there's too many differences, there's too many. So it does require someone like me and others like me who actually get it. I get it, right? I get it. It requires, excuse me, there should be a button. There's a button for when I have to cough. But there should be, it takes me to do it. I am enlightened in some way. I have this vision. I have this knowledge. So I can help people. Now, I'm going to have to push and, there's some of them are going to kick. They're going to scream. Some of them are going to be mean. Some of them we, you know, we may have to, you know, do some things too. You never know. Yeah. Because for the greater good, of course, for the greater good. Just like, you know, when you don't have to, when you're doing something for the greater good, you do not have to follow COVID regulations. We all know that. Well, there are a million examples of it. And the last was this plane trip from Texas to Washington, D.C. It was okay to avoid some of those precautions. So anyway, so we're going to keep on a little bit. I've got a neat, some neat stuff to tell you toward the end. Some stuff Larry and I were talking about. This is going to be this show's going to be neat as we keep going. So please stay tuned, stay with us. Lock and load, ready on the right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
When I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hey, folks, we're back. We're back. Second segment, second hour. How are you? Frank Van Bree sitting in for Larry Connors. And we've been talking about socialism and some of its various aspects. And is the Democrat Party taking us to a socialist nation, or is it not? And I listed off a few things. We've had a guest that talked about it, you know, lots of runaway government spending, higher inflation, energy policies that lead to higher gas costs, illegal immigration policies that allow drugs and criminals in and then busing them into the interior of the country, immigration policies that then encourage a permanent poor because they're brought in and they are just kind of left. And I imagine the government takes care of them. I'm not exactly sure what goes on there. And then election policies, where we're seeing all kinds of issues. Dr. Lamero said he had, you know, a legitimate concern about something that had happened in Arkansas with those 70,000 votes. So, you know, what the heck is going on? The last thing Dr. Romero said was censorship. When you don't allow people to speak freely, when you're in bed with big tech and you're trying to tell them to govern whatever is said online, and they take away your civil liberties, your speech. Where is the ACLU in all this, by the way? I just thought of that. Where are they? Where are those guys? Anyway, so let's keep looking at different things. Another thing is education. What is the Democrat Party doing in the educational realm? Well, we know that just recently there's a There's a teaching network guide for racial justice and abolitionist social and emotional learning handbook, which its basis is whiteness is a form of oppression. You know, so they have to disrupt whiteness. Okay, and the educational system, they say, is guilty of spirit murder of black, brown, and indigenous children. So that is a group, that is a handbook that suddenly was promoted by the U.S. Department of Education. It literally got out there. And of course, immediately, Jen Psaki from, you know, from the media, in front of all the media folks was saying, no, this was a huge mistake. We did not know what we were doing. We had no idea. That somehow got out there. We didn't know what it was. It got past us. We did not know what we were approving. Well, Martha McCallum was just interviewing past Secretary Betsy DeVos. Let's listen to the clip.
You've Thanks, been Martha. Following the developments of this story and this abolitionist teacher training that was linked in part of the materials for the Go Back to School program. What do you make of it?
Well, this notion that it was a mistake is an absolute falsehood. Having been there at the department for 4 years and working through the approval processes for anything that's put out from the department, I know full well that there was there were eyes on and there was full knowledge of this going on. We saw earlier this year the grant process the department also put out that basically was trying to bribe schools into using the 1619 project in their materials. So this is just another reflection of the true nature of the Biden Department of Education.
So according to Betsy DeVos, that's impossible. Now, anything's possible. Let's just go ahead and say that. I'm not there. You're not there. But she believes that's impossible. How in the world could that have happened? Because they've got checks and balances, and so-and-so had to sign off on it. Miguel Cardona, he had to sign off on the citation. There's no way it would have ever been released. So now, was he, you know, drinking a cup of coffee and talking to his wife and was just signing stuff, and it just got out? I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't look good. Anyway, it looks as if the division – promoting the division, trying to break everything down is what is continuing to go on. I know that when I was in school, I listened or I had to study Marxism. We all did. And I remember that the underpinning of Marxism is Georges Hegel. Hegel, he had a premise that there is a thesis. He said, look, there's a thesis. There it is. There's a thesis. You know, you have to do a thesis in school. There it is. There's my written work. It's there it is in all its glory. Well, there needs to develop an antithesis to start beating up on that thesis. He said, this is the way it works. We've got a thesis called America, let's just say. And now we've got to beat up on that thesis with an antithesis or an antithesis. And bam, 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 bam. And at some point, the thesis will crumble. At some point, the thesis will break. And the antithesis and the thesis will fight it out. And eventually, what is to come is synthesis. Ah, peace, peace, peace will come. After terrible, terrible conflict, peace will come. Thesis, antithesis, bam, 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 synthesis. That's Hegel. That's Hegel's philosophy. And that's the underpinning of Marxism. That's what Karl Marx built Marxism on, or one of the tenets of what he built Marxism on. The idea is then that synthesis sits there for, 75, 100 years. And then now it's starting to get a little crusty. It's a new thesis. It's now a thesis. A new antithesis. A new antithesis has to come up. Bam, 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 bam. A new synthesis now. And this keeps going and going and going so that we ultimately end up in utopia, because we're getting smarter and smarter and smarter with each conflict every 75 to 100 years. Does that make sense? So could this be very smart people in government right now? Could this be the playbook? Could this be what's going on? Let's beat up America. Beat it up. Beat it up. Beat it up. Beat up the thesis. Beat up the thesis. Create division. Do whatever we have to do to break it down, because we want there to be synthesis. We want a synthesis. So that's what I'm wondering. So as we're going through here, that's education then. What about here's one that's kind of interesting. San Francisco. San Francisco. Look what's happening there. The tourism is starting to come back. But have you seen all these video clips of people just running in, boldly, blatantly running in, cleaning off shelves? Somebody tries to stop them, and the guy says, "What are you doing, man? Get away from me." Like, as if don't mess me up with what I'm doing. I'm busy here. And they're running out and then taking off in a number of cars. You've seen that. Now what's happening, just this came out today, is that cars are getting broken into at an alarming rate, 1,000 a month. 1,000 a month, the mayor just came on, the San Francisco mayor. 1,000 a month. Yet, and what are they doing? They're stealing stuff out of cars because tourism is coming back now. Do you know how much money San Francisco lost because of tourism last year or during COVID? $8 billion. $8 billion with a B. So here comes tourism starting to come back. And now they're starting to crack into everybody's cars and take and steal their things and all these visitors. That's going to hurt tourism again. You know what the problem is? They're down 400 police officers. They don't have 400 police officers. So it's a little bit like the Wild West. Why don't we listen to a clip from San Diego that was in the news this morning?
San Francisco is one of the Democrat-led cities where America's crime and its crisis has been raging. The surge has police dispatching more officers to popular tourist destinations, but the department says it is still short about 400 officers.
There it is, 400 officers. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, that's crazy. Now, here's my bigger question. I mean, if we're, you know, this thing about intellectual honesty, I like to harp on that a little bit. None of us are dumb. We're all intelligent people. But, you know, like when you watch a movie and stuff, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief so that you can believe what's going on the screen, right? Well, I don't know if we should be doing that with such regularity in real life. Intellectual honesty is important. And if you're really intellectually honest and you really sit back and you say, "I don't have a political pony in this fight and I'm watching this happen." Well, first of all, I don't want to be one of the ones that got my car broken into. I do not. I worked hard for whatever I've got, and we're on vacation. And now if they take my suitcase, like if they take my purse, if they take whatever it is, now my vacation is ruined too, on top of everything. So If we're intellectually honest and this is all going on and we say, well, where is law enforcement? Oh, 400 down. Well, that's a good thing. Yeah, because defund the police. We needed to defund the police. Because why? Because they're a racist institution. We've got to bust that down. It's a thesis. It's a thesis that we need an antithesis for, and we're going to bust it down. Oh, well, we're getting some fallout here, aren't we? Some cars are getting broken into. Okay, well, you know, that's just part of it. That's part of it, because eventually a new synthesis is coming. Why does no one say, "Hey, Ms. Pelosi, this is your area"? Why is Nancy Pelosi's name never brought up with all that's going on? Why is Nancy Pelosi never talking about what's happening in her city? I don't get that at all. Do you? Do you? So be intellectually honest. Might something else be going on? A rational person would get on a plane, even if it's a private jet, Miss Pelosi, you get on a plane and you get there and you would hold a press conference and you would say, "We have got to take care of this. Our the visitors to our cities are being attacked. And our stores are being attacked. And there's not enough people to work in the stores even." And some of our bars have to close early, or we don't have enough people to cook, or, you know, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Come on, guys, what's going on? What's really, really going on? I'm not saying I have this crystal ball where I've got it all figured out. Did you hear Lomero? Did you hear Dr. Lomero say, when I asked him, who is running the country? And he said, well, I have my supposition. I believe that it is President Obama and Susan Rice. I believe those are the two that are really running the country. Now, that makes me wonder if that's true. If that's true, certainly has influence, just like Trump has influence. Trump has influence in conservative circles, right? He was a past president. But if that's really true, then that concerns me a little bit, because I know he's on record, and I know some of the meetings he goes to has to do with more of a global reset, this synthesis that they're all seeking. And to do that, America has to come down. It has to come down so that it fits within the global construct. That makes me a little nervous if that's true, which means our freedom is truly at stake. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to talk about stuff that Larry and I talked about while we were having a couple of drinks. I think you're going to like it. Sit tight. See you in a minute.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hello, everybody. Frank Van Brie in for Larry Connors. I just got a text that said, masks are back. So I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if immediately we're all to mask up now, or I don't know if I'm going to be in trouble when I go out in the parking lot and out in the radio studio here and don't have my mask. I don't know. I don't have one with me, so I'll have to go find it again and wash it and get it out of the cupboard or the closet and start wearing it again. I wear one of those ones that is around your neck and then you pull it up over your nose and mouth and stuff. What is that called? I don't know. Anyway, I like that one. It's cool. And it's black. And then when you put it down, it's like you've got this cool ascot or something around, you know, it makes you look Hollywood. Anyway, so I wanted to tell you, I'm going to take the show a little bit personal now, and I have Larry's what's the word I'm looking for? He allowed it. He actually suggested it. So we were sitting having drinks after one of his shows, which we'll do every couple weeks or so. And we're at the bar. We're at a corner. Larry's very good at scouting out places. And we got a corner so that we could kind of sit and look at each other, you know, at the corner of the bar, each kind of angled into each other. And so what we did, we just started talking. We got into a discussion about, you know, him being a newsman. Somebody came up and recognized him and said, didn't you used to be on the news on like Channel 2 or Channel 4? And he says, yeah, I did. And that sort of thing. And so we got talking, and I said, what was your greatest story? What was your most fun thing? And he said, oh my gosh. He goes, there's so much that I've done, but one of the most fun things that I did was I got to sit with Ronald Reagan at lunch in the White House. I got to sit with Ronald Reagan, eight top. I was directly across from him. He had staffers and a few other reporters. How did Larry manage to get that coveted spot? It totally took him by surprise. Earlier, Reagan had been there with the press corps asking questions. This was back in the 80s. Iran-Contra was going on, and Reagan was all, you know, Oliver North. Remember all that stuff? Trading arms for whatever. And so Larry was there covering that. So it was a little bit of a tense time. And so Larry had come very well prepared, as he always does, as a newsman, and was asking lots of questions. And he started realizing, I'm like the only one asking questions. What the heck? I mean, these are all reporters from all over major news sources. Why am I the only one asking questions? And that managed to get him a spot at Reagan's table, because he obviously had things that he liked and wanted to talk about. And so he got to do it. And while he was sitting there at the table, Reagan looked at him and, you know, Larry said, "You know, Mr. Reagan, Mr. President, I have a little problem. I've got a little problem, Mr. President." That's a bad Larry Connors, isn't it? That was pretty bad. "But I've got a problem. You know, my daughters said that they wrote you, and you did not write them back." Not so good, Mr. President. Not so good. I don't think Larry said that, actually. But Reagan said, "That's not so good." So he turned over a placard that he had, which had said, you know, "Ronald Reagan sits here," because Larry told me how he went around the table. Let's see. Oh, there's Reagan. He's sitting there. Where am I? Oh, look at this. I'm right across from him, straight looking right into his eyes. Perfect. So what Reagan did is he wrote down on the little back of the placard, "So sorry, girls," asked for their names, Christy, you know, Noel, and said, "So sorry," and gave that to Larry, which, with a picture, which Larry has to this day. He brought it back to the girls, and he was a rock star dad. A rock star. I love that story. I love that story. So so that got me thinking, and I said, "You know, Larry, one of my greatest heroes was Ronald Reagan." It was Ronald Reagan. And I said, and I had a second one that was equal. And he really goes, "Who's that?" I said, "Pope John Paul II, JP2, I love you." And he said, "Really? How come?" So why don't, when we get back from the break, why don't I tell you my little story that I told to Larry? See you soon on the other side of the break.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
I said, "Brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right. I got to tell you something. When you're sitting with Larry Connors in a bar, you know, you'd say, okay, at a table, I get it. But when you're sitting at a bar and there are women either to the right of me or to the left of him, no matter how far down they are, if a woman stands up to go to the bathroom, to go say hello to somebody at another table, Larry stands up. So I'm like, "Whoa, where are you going, Larry?" He goes, nothing, Frank. I'm being a gentleman." And I said, "Oh, God." And I got up too. And the women started to notice this. What a great way to pick up women. Now I'm teasing. Anyway, that Southern charm. It was just great. So anyway, I said, well, you know, mine is Ronald Reagan. I said, I think I would have died and gone to heaven. I would have fainted if I would have ever met the man. And he said, he was impressive, Frank. And I said, well, the same thing would be true with John Paul II. That guy just captivated me. If I would have met him face to face, I got very close to him. I mean, his Pope Mobile went by me two or three times at different places. But, you know, oh, my God, would it have been something just to have a few words with him? And Larry said, well, why is that? And I said, well, you know, the first time I ever encountered that Pope was when he came down to New Orleans in the Superdome. And Larry goes, oh, I know that. I was there. He says, I was covering it. I don't know if I was inside. I said, well, it was amazing to me. We were, you know, halfway up in the bowl, looking down at the stage. There were two stages. There was a band on one stage, and the other stage next to that stage was where all the dignitaries would sit, and there was a big podium where the Pope was going to speak, you know, to the jam-packed Superdome. I don't know how many people that is, 60, 80, I don't know how many thousands. Anyway, we're jam-packed in there. And finally, the Pope Mobile all of a sudden makes its way from the center, like came in through about the 50-yard line, but stayed right on the wall and just started driving around the oval so that they were right near the front row of all the people. So the Pope was, you know, I don't know if he was giving high fives. I couldn't really tell. But the thing was, is he was going by everybody waving, and the place was just going nuts. And he finally ended up going all the way around the whole thing, the whole football field, and ends up in the end zone where the two stages are set. And the Pope Mobile stops behind that, and everybody gets out. All the dignitaries are standing there, and they slowly are going up on the stage. The band is rocking out, and the Pope is caught up in, you know, in the group. And I'm like, wait, where is he? Where is he? Next thing I noticed, he had left the group and gone over and snuck up on the rock band stage. So he's over there on the rock band stage, and none of the people on the dignitary stage had figured it out either. There he is all of a sudden, and the lead guitarist, he comes right up next to the lead guitarist and is admiring his guitar work, and he realizes somebody's next to him, and he just stopped playing, you know, got down on his knee and was like, oh my God. You know, because why can I not think of words today? I'm having trouble thinking of words. The thing you do with a Pope is you kiss his ring. So the guy did that, and the Pope yanked him back up and said, "You better keep playing." You know, and he gave you the strum signal. Anyway, that was an amazing thing. The place was going nuts. As he's coming off that stage, somebody's standing there as he's going down the steps on one to then go up the steps where he belongs. And somebody puts a big Mardi Gras mask on him, hands it to him, and he puts it on. Now he's got feathers going 10, 12 feet in the air. And, you know, here's the Pope in a Mardi Gras mask tied on, and he goes up on the stage, and the band is playing, and he's kind of rocking out to the band with this huge Mardi Gras mask on. Again, the place is going nuts. Finally, things start to settle down. He takes the mask off. He goes up to the podium. People are still screaming. He has to wait and wait and wait. But finally, he says, he puts his hands up and says, you've got to sit down, sit down, sit down. And everybody slowly sat down. And then he said, dear young people, wah, 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 wah. Dead quiet. It was dead quiet in the Superdome. Then he said, sex is good. And the place immediately erupted. This was a youth group or a youth meeting that he was having anyway. So here he is with all these teenagers, young 20 somethings. And the place is going nuts. Just fever pitch. The band starts rocking out. Sex is good, the Pope said. And then he steps back up to the, you know, now a minute has gone by or more, and he gets back up to the microphone, and everybody quiets down, and he says, in marriage. Big pause. Big silent pause for about 2 seconds. And then everybody goes, oh, crap. We should be cheering for this. And the place went nuts again. Sex is good in marriage. What an awesome thing. And it just kind of blew me away, you know. And then he talked, and you know, we had a, a great time, and you know, we had a big outdoor mass with Al Jolson was playing on the trumpet and all kinds of stuff. It was neat. Anyway, so from that, and this is where Larry said, Frank, share what you just told me. Well, what ended up happening is years later, I realized that what the Pope had done was an amazing thing. Let's go back real quick just to get a little history, sir, a little context. Let's go through the history. You're going to say, where is he going with this? The history of the birth control pill. Remember, I said sex is good in marriage, right? And so birth control, it fits in a little bit. So in the 20s, teens and 20s, Margaret Sanger was, you know, an activist and was promoting the birth control pill. And she was working with different scientists. She created the first Planned Parenthood, which was in Brownsville, Brooklyn. It was called the American Birth Control League, as I recall, and it became Planned Parenthood. And it keeps going. And so by 1960, so 30 years later, Margaret Sanger's been at it for a while, the pill is suddenly approved for contraceptive use. And it's controversial, of course. And so John the 23rd, Pope John the 23rd at the time, in 1964, convened a commission on population, the family, and natality, which means birth, I guess. And many within the Catholic Church started to study this. And you know, when the church studies something, man, it goes deep. It goes deep. It gets every scientist, every doctor, every person, blah, 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 blah. So they study this for 5 years. And the general consensus when the 16 or 15 bishops that were heading up the study come back is it's close to 50-50. You know, I guess they did a little vote or something. It might have been 9-6 or something. But the thinking was, you know, if this is used carefully, not just out and outright, you can't, you know, we can have a joyride, we don't have kids, and, you know, we do whatever we want. If this is used carefully, it could be okay. And at that point, John the 23rd, as we know, passed on, and Paul the 6th, Pope Paul VI is in now in the latter part of the 60s, 1960s. So he says, okay, I appreciate this input. There's two other people I want to hear from on this. I want to hear from two other people. One of them was Jose Maria Escrivá, a Spanish priest. Jose Maria Escrivá de Belaguer, apparently. He wanted his input on it. He was a very prolific Spanish priest at the time that did a lot with lay people. He was the founder of Opus Dei, as a matter of fact, if you know or have ever heard of that. He said, there's another person that I want to look at what the council, the bishops, the commission has come back with on this little white pill. And his name is Karol Wojtyła. He's in Poland. He's a cardinal in Poland. So Karol Wojtyła and Jose Maria take a 6 months or a year or whatever, and they provide to Pope Paul VI their thoughts, to which he takes and writes the encyclical Humanae Vitae, on human life. And if anybody is aware out there of what Humanae Vitae did in 1968 when it came on the scene, it shocked people because ultimately it talked about marriage, you know, and I'm not going to get into a theology lesson, but it just historically it shocked people. And Humanae Vitae said some factual things. If this little white pill is allowed to go on, I'm getting back to John Paul II in a minute because this is what was fascinating to Larry. If this little white pill is allowed, it will start to destroy marriages. Men will become more promiscuous. Women will become, you know, more objectified. A lot of other things will begin. The family will begin to erode, all these things. And if we went through statistics, we might go back and say, you know, Humanae Vitae was a bit of a prophetic document. But from Humanae Vitae, there was one line in there. Not one line. There was an actual, I've actually just read it. It basically said, but this isn't going to make sense in society today because man has lost touch with himself. man no longer knows himself fully as God has created him. So take that for a second. Hold on to it. This is, you know, Humanae Vitae. And then I'm gonna finish up here in our last segment, which Larry thought was very interesting. Hold tight. Be right back.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Okay, so here we are. We've got, this is our last segment here. We've got just a few minutes left. We're with Larry and Frank in the bar. We've talked about Ronald Reagan. Now we're talking about John Paul II saying sex is good in marriage. And the place going nuts. And then, coming back to the fact that the popes in the 60s, when the Humanae Vitae was written in response to the birth control pill, what was going on? What was happening? So in the encyclical of Humanae Vitae, man does not know himself. People need to really understand who they are and why God created them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So now we get to 1979. And Carol Watiwa, remember, he was one of the guys that was asked to write his thoughts on this little white pill, becomes Pope. He becomes John Paul II in 1979. Immediately, he starts doing a series of talks to actually help answer that question posed in Humanae Vitae. And he starts talking about sex and what sex is and what it means and why it's here and all that sort of a thing. And so there was a little joke going around where these two semi-elderly ladies were there in St. Peter's Square. And, hello, Ethel. Oh, hi, Martha. How are you? Good. Oh, it's so joyous. The Pope is here. And he comes out and he starts saying, sex is good. And what did he say, Martha? What? He's talking about sex. Oh, dear. So fast forward 5 years to 1984 when he delivered the final little talk, 129 of them, actually, over those 5 years. And let's say Martha and Helen or Esther or Gladys come back again. He's talking. Is he still talking about sex? I mean, it was just a funny little story that everybody would talk about. So, yes, the Pope was talking about sex, and he talked about sex all the time because he said it's the greatest thing, the greatest gift that God has given us. And he was the fulfillment of Humanae Vitae, and what that was a whole expose on what's called the theology of the body. The theology of the body. So Thomas Aquinas and Thomas More, you've heard of all them. They've had all these great things that they, instituted in the church, part of the doctors of the church. Pope John Paul II has just taken the church into an entirely different realm. Now, the church is going through all kinds of trouble right now, we know. But the theology of the body should find its final light, its magnificence probably around the year 2050. He's got to be gone for a while. All the current scholars have to be kind of gone because this one came straight from the top, theology of the body. And it was when he was going to the pontifical university or pontifical thing for the family. That's when he was shot. Remember, he got shot four times he was shot. As he was falling, he said, I'm fine. She's got me. He was talking about the Mother of God because she had prophesied back in the early 1917 that a pope would be shot. And so she quote unquote, saved him. Anyway, isn't that cool, though? Isn't that cool? That's why the man's my my hero, just from some of this stuff. But he actually was involved in Humanae Vitae, the big scandal of the 60s, right in the middle of free love, right? And Woodstock. And here he becomes Pope, pretty cool and hip Pope, actually. And he talks about sex. So that's why I like John Paul II. He talks about sex. So what else? What else? Let's bring it back. Let's bring it all the way back to today and the political climate and socialism and all that stuff. If things keep going the way they're going, I mean, just even with the story that I told, I mean, Black Lives Matter is anti-family. They are not for the nuclear family. Doesn't mean they aren't for people living together and all that kind of thing. That's not what I'm saying. But they do not recognize the nuclear family, the very thing that Humanae Vitae says is a must because it is part of the plan of God. So that's okay. I mean, we're free, right? We're free. Freedom. We can do what we want. So and then the question is, you know, are you God or am I God or is God God? And that's what's ultimately it's going to come to, because whenever socialism takes hold and even turns to a communistic construct, God goes. God leaves the building. He must. He's not around in China, not around in Russia for a lot of years. You are not able to practice your faith as you wish. So it is it's a very tough thing when that sort of thing comes in. So we've got to just ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing? We voted in the Biden administration. Is this what you want? It may be, but is it? At least think intellectually honest. Use intellectual honesty to address what's going on in the world. And then I think we'll all be happier. And let's have some heavy-duty dialogue. I think it's good. I think it's good to talk about these things. I don't know. Anyway, you guys have been great today. Larry, thank you. Thank you for letting me on. I'm going to text you right now and find out whether I got 120,000 or half of it. All right, everybody. Sayonara. God bless.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.